This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. If you're fortunate, you get to take reading for granted. You just see words, and your brain knows what they mean, and you're comfortable with this process. You do it well. You do it often. You're literate. But there are many people, children and adults here in San Antonio, who are not that fortunate. They may have maybe they've got some learning disabilities, or they just had a rough start. But reading is a challenge. It might even be beyond their abilities, but they can do it with some help. But these people have other skills and attributes and intelligence that just need a chance, and we can't afford to write these folks off. So how can we, as a city, deal with our literacy problem? What would a concentrated effort look like that could address this issue? How would it pay off in so many of the issues that we have here in San Antonio? What are we doing now? How can we build on those successes? We're talking about literacy in San Antonio. We want to hear what you have to say about it, what your experiences are in dealing with literacy and lack of literacy in this town. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. With us today to talk about this is Jack Mitz. He's the program coordinator for SA Reads Literacy San Antonio. Connie Tobe is the program and site coordinator for Each One Teach One. Deborah Valdez is the executive director of San Antonio Youth Literacy. And Candy Mendoza is the Library Service Administrator for the San Antonio Public Library. A lot of folks here today to talk about literacy, and thank you so much for joining us. So I'm going to start off, Deborah Valdez, as you are the Executive Director of San Antonio Youth Literacy. Talk about San Antonio's literacy problem. I mean, how big of a problem is this?
Well, it's a very big problem in San Antonio with very many facets to it. We don't want to talk about statistics, but they are a big part of what we have to look at in order to determine where we can go from here. Over 5,000 of our students in third grade are scoring level one on the state, assessment of reading skills. And that signals a huge, huge problem. We have latest information from people that do research is that San Antonio is now recognized as being the most economically segregated community in the United States. And that has a big influence.
You think that leads to the problem?
Yes, that's a big part of the problem. Studies in poverty relate, children not being able to read with directly there, the correlation is there. So we have to look at all those factors when we're talking about where can we go from here.
So. Connie Tobe over at Each One Teach One, your focus is on adult literacy, is that correct?
That is correct. We primarily serve the adults of San Antonio, those who are 18 and older.
Talk about somebody, just an example. You don't have to give a name or anything, but I want to hear a story about maybe someone who has come to Each One Teach One as an adult, and they have recognized that they need some help. They need assistance to develop their reading skills. Talk about that.
Absolutely. We have folks ranging in ages from 18 on up through, I believe our senior learner is 88 years old. So let's talk about the 18-year-old or that 19 or 20-year-old who has graduated high school. We have folks who've graduated high school and they still find themselves in need of tutoring to strengthen their reading skills, the reading, writing, and math skills. So these folks, they muster up the courage to walk through those doors, and they come in and say that they want help to learning to read. We've got folks who come in as well who want to get their GED, and so they may have a job, but they've been offered a promotion, and in order to qualify for that promotion, they need to get a GED or some sort of high school equivalency to prove that they have those basic skills, and so those folks come to us as well.
So they come in because they recognize that they need to learn to read better, and they know that you're the person, you're the pretty much the only source in San Antonio dealing with adult literacy.
Yes, sir. They want to learn to read better, and they may have already tried other programs that would put them in a group of other learners, whereas with Each One Teach One, our model is the one-on-one tutoring for adults. So when they come in, we tailor the program to them, to their specific needs, and we match them one-on-one with their own tutor to help them work towards their literacy goals, whether that be reading itself or reading, writing, math, whatever that educational or academic goal is. We work with them. We tailor a program for them.
So generally speaking, typical person who comes in and they say, I need to learn how to read, you know, at a higher level. And why didn't they master it when they had a chance when they were in grade school?
Well, what we find is that in grades K through about third grade or so, you're learning to read. And after that, you know, fourth grade on up, you're reading to learn. So if there was something that impeded their ability to read in that K through third grade window, then they get further and further behind after that.
Well, what was that? What was that something that began that initial falling behind? Typically,
you know, it can be many things. What we find is that it's often the literacy level of their parents, because no matter how good the schooling is when the kids are at school, if they don't have someone to support that learning and to continue that learning at home, they can fall behind. And we know that the literacy level of the parent, the primary caregiver, is one of the biggest indicators of the success of that student in school. Now, we've had some of our folks who had medical conditions and they've had to drop out of school and stay home and do homeschooling, and then they fall behind in homeschooling. And we've had athletes who come to us and say they just did not, school was just not, the academic part of it was just not their priority. And so they ended up either dropping out or graduating as an athlete and then finding out, you know, that they don't have those reading skills that they need to be a productive part of the city. And so they come to us then. But there are some of our folks who, one of our oldest, she's 88, she was not able to work. To attend school, I should say, because she had to work to support the family. So in her case, she didn't go to school because she had to work. But there's just a number of reasons for folks who fall behind or who simply don't attend school.
All right, we're talking about literacy in San Antonio. We're talking that was Connie Tobe of Each One Teach One. We've got people here talking about San Antonio's programs for our youth and our adults, people who need to master reading. Give us a call if you want to join our conversation. What can San Antonio do to improve our literacy right here? What would it mean for our many other issues that we need to tackle for the city? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. The source continues after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. What's being done to improve literacy for San Antonio children and adults? We know literacy is a challenge in San Antonio for many here. What resources are out there to help the young and the old become better readers, and why this is important for our community? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We would love to hear your thoughts and experiences about dealing with literacy in our community. Candy Mendoza, you're the Library Services Administrator for the San Antonio Public Library. What other resources are in San Antonio to help adults become better readers?
So as far as partners go, Region 20 works with the school districts, and they provide a lot of classes for the parents, and again, to engage them in kind of elevating their literacy levels.
So they see that helping the adults, the parents, benefits the children as well.
Correct. So Region 20 is one, and then Alamo Colleges has a program as well that they offer classes for GED and ESL. The library, the San Antonio Public Library, we have a program that initiated a few years back in partnership with the Department of Human Services. So we have a Learn at SAPL, where we also provide one-on-one tutoring, and it's a holistic approach to an adult. So most of the time when we encounter individuals that come to us for assistance, life has happened, whether it's they had kids a little too early, they got fired from a job, they're looking for that promotion, so they're looking for that new skill set. We take them in at Learn at SAPL, do an interview, kind of figure out what their goals are, and then just kind of break it down little by little so that they can be encouraged and motivated, so when life happens again, they don't feel so discouraged and potentially drop out and go back instead of going forward. So at Learn at SAPL, we definitely work with them to do GED, workforce development. We do job fairs. We had so many people come in, do the interviews, and walk out of those job fairs with a new job or a second interview so that they can get a second interview and potentially get a new job in their near future. So the library does kind of look at it in a holistic sense to provide that one-on-one training as well as opportunities for workforce development.
Jack Metz, Program Coordinator for SA Reads, Literacy San Antonio. What are some, you're looking at really a scientific-based reading approach, and so how does that play into maybe some children falling behind soon, early in their academic career in reading?
Well, we believe that there is disconnect between some of the best practices coming out of universities in relation to reading, what researchers call science-based reading instruction. Just 39% of undergraduate teacher education programs teach using all five components of science-based reading instruction. And so what we're working with is we're working with our partners at Texas A&M University San Antonio and our partners at Region 20 and Southwest ISD to equip teachers with this knowledge so that they're equipped with the language and literacy skills to meet the needs of their students.
So I guess some kids learn reading differently than others. So, I mean,
correct.
Maybe many of us learn to read with flashcards and a teacher holding up, and we're supposed to learn to recognize the word or then also learn how to sound out words. And it can, but there are some, many people learn reading differently. Your brains are different for a lot of folks. And so is the idea to teach teachers how to identify students who may be learning reading differently and then tailor maybe how to read to them to that individual?
Exactly. About 60% of students will learn how to read pretty naturally. It's a very complex process, but 60% will pick it up. Those other 40% need systemic and explicit instruction. So that goes beyond just sharing a book with them or having read-alouds, using flashcards. It involves very explicit instruction on the phonemes of the English language, the graphemes of the English language, letter sound correspondence. So these are complex skills that the teachers first need to be equipped to understand and to transfer that knowledge to their students.
I think it's really important to underline that there is no correlation between the ability to read and ability to think. The intelligence is not connected to reading ability. Is that right, Jack?
Exactly, yeah. These students who might struggle with reading are often brilliant in other areas. And
spatial coordination and other things, being able to draw and other, their brain is just wired for other skills.
Exactly.
All right, let me go to a caller here. The number is 210-614-8980. Brenda is on the line. Hey, Brenda, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Great. Go right ahead.
So I just have a question. I have a son named Jet, and he's about to start first grade, and I was just curious to see how can he, with his teachers, make sure that he learns how to read so he doesn't end up as one of those statistics. How are his teachers going to know that he's learning how to read, and what's being done to make sure that he doesn't end up in a program like Teach One when he's 18 or 19 and struggling?
Okay, Brenda, thank you so much. So probably if you're interested in how your son is doing, and you're probably very curious about that, then you're going to be engaged, and so chances are your son's going to be doing really well. But Jack Mitz, how do parents typically make sure that the teachers are aware of what's going on?
Well, it sounds like you're a very engaged parent, which is a great start. I would encourage you to continue engaging with your child's teachers and maybe the principal, the district officials, to familiarize yourself with the curriculum that they use and what their strategy towards reading or learning to read is. Because some programs, and you can do additional research on your own, are more research-based and evidence-based than others, which maybe take a more whole language approach, which just pairs students with literature in hopes that, you know, the magic happens.
So Deborah Valdez over at San Antonio Youth Literacy, y'all have a program with volunteers, with reading buddies that help kids learn to read. But parents, you know, we're all told to read to our children. And then many of us stop reading once our child starts reading. But do you think that the parents should continue that process? Even though your son or daughter is already reading, you can pick up more difficult books. You can continue the practice just to show that reading is important.
Oh, definitely. You know, prior to the show, Candy and I and Jack were having a conversation about reading to our children and chapter books. That's not something that they initially learned to read, but having teachers taking time to read to them during a certain time of the day, you know, having recess called off and having the kids ask for the teacher to read it. I was actually a kindergarten teacher, so I can tell you the enjoyment that students experience by listening to a story. So it's extremely important. When you read a chapter book to a child, they may not necessarily be able to read it themselves, but it increases their exposure to those words, to that vocabulary. You know, there's oral language development. All teachers know that is the most important initial step toward learning to read. And many of our students lag behind in oral language development here in San Antonio. So, yes, reading to your children is extremely important. No matter how old they are.
Connie Tobe, over at Each One Teach One, what are some of the stories that you've heard from the adults who come to your doorstep asking for help becoming better readers? How do they tell you that not being able to read well has impacted their lives?
Well, one of the things you touched on earlier was the intelligence of the folks that come through the doors of Each One Teach One, and I just wanted to say that we have a wide range of folks from all ages, ethnicities. They're residents from every segment of the city. We don't have any residency requirements, and our folks come to us. They have either lost a job and they are back in the search for employment and they can't read the job application. Or they have a job and they've been offered an advancement, but they're not able to pass those exams in order to advance to that next level. Or they have school-aged children who have passed fourth or fifth grade and now the kids bring homework home, and parents are not able to read past fourth grade. So once their kids get past fourth or fifth grade, they're not able to help with homework.
So, so these people, do they have a sense of embarrassment? They don't want to talk about. They don't want people to know. They want to hide the fact that their literacy level is not good.
Oh, absolutely. They've been able to manage before they come to us. So when they come through the doors of Each One Teach One, it's typically not a split second decision. It's something that they have been thinking about for a time, and so they finally worked up the courage to come through the doors and pretty much reveal one of their you know deepest secrets in some cases. And so it does take a great amount of courage to come through those doors.
All right, I'm going to another caller, Daylene. And hi, Daylene. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm really excited about this program today. I actually am a PhD student at Texas State, and my whole summer field work is about family literacy. And I'm a K-2 reading intervention teacher at Commerce Elementary in Judson. And I got to visit Each One Teach One and was so impressed with their program. But I kind of have a question, mostly for Jeff. I see the disconnect after doing all this research this summer as really being more about family literacy programs and the availability in the city of San Antonio, because I know now that with an increasing need for these types of resources, so adult literacy programs and helping parents understand school literacy and financial literacy and health literacy. Mm-hmm. What are we doing in the city of San Antonio to increase the availability for that? Because SAU, they're focusing on just the kids. Each One Teach One, that's focusing on just the adults. So what are we doing to really increase our family literacy program availability in the city? Thank you.
All right, thank you. So let me let our library person handle that. Candy Mendoza?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would definitely, and also to include the previous caller, I mean, I would definitely encourage the use of the public library. We have professional librarians at every location. We have 30 locations throughout the city of San Antonio, our central library, 28 branches, and then we have a Briscoe portal. And we have our professional librarians, they're willing and ready to help with readers' advisory, whether it's for, you know, first-time parents that don't know where to begin, what books do I pick, which ones are good for my kid. I mean, our librarians are there to help you select the books that you need. If it's a project or a resource that you're trying to improve a skill set as a teenager or an adult, we also have librarians that could help you pick something there as well. Our hours vary throughout the city, and there's lots of them, 7 days a week. And then, of course, we have our digital content that we have our library. So there's definitely story times that we offer at the library, and that's an encouragement to bring both parents and children to the library and kind of engage them in literacy as far as getting them exposed to reading and the enjoyment of it. Because I do feel like there's two sides, the one about the academic side of reading to get kids to learn how to read, but also creating that pleasure reading, the reading that happens at home, the reading that the child or the teenager or the adult gets to pick whatever book they want to either read or listen to. So I think definitely keeping it a pleasure so that it could be something that they enjoy to do. But again, I think the library is definitely a resource for everybody to come into. Parents and kids, family members, all of all ages can come into the library and either look for resources by themselves or ask for help with our librarians.
So pleasure reading, I mean, there are many of us, when we love to read and we read all the time, but there's probably a huge chunk of the population where the concept of pleasure reading is kind of like pleasure running to them. You know, they don't not into that, or pleasure shaving. You know, you just do it to do it, but you don't really get any pleasure out of it. So if you're an individual and you're not really doing pleasure reading is a chore for you, does that mean that, I mean, maybe if you took some classes or you exercised or learned a little bit more, just polished up your reading ability a little bit better, that there's a whole world of pleasure reading waiting for you, Candy?
Yes, and I think definitely we were also having a conversation with Deborah about podcasts and the popularity of those kind of increasing. So audio, listening to audiobooks might be a first step for you. You can always find those materials. People are getting awards now for being the voice of different books that bring the books to life. So I think it helps if you can pick obviously a genre that you like, historical fiction, nonfiction. If you're just trying to pick up cooking or sewing, there's books and podcasts and audio for pretty much any selection.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We come back, we got a lot of calls. We're going to get them on the air when we come back from this break. We got to let Connie Tobe go from Each One Teach One, a great nonprofit here in San Antonio doing adult literacy. Appreciate you. Check them out on their website. The Source continues after this break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. What's being done to improve literacy for San Antonio children and adults? Improving our literacy rate here now in San Antonio could pay big dividends in helping stave off our dropout rate and also with incarceration. There's a big connection between these issues, these ills that plague the city, and the lack of literacy. So maybe if we put more resources, we did a moonshot effort to try and improve literacy in the city, how could that improve all these other issues that we have? Give us a call. What's your contact with literacy? literacy, illiteracy in San Antonio, 210-614-8980. With me in the studio to talk about this is Jack Mitz. He's the program coordinator for SA Reads Literacy San Antonio. Deborah Valdez is the executive director of San Antonio Youth Literacy, and Candy Mendoza is the library services administrator for the San Antonio Public Library. And we got a lot of calls, so let's get them on the air. Here's Phil, and Phil, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. In the course of this very interesting discussion, I think that we glossed over something that really reached out and spoke to me, and that was the fact that we mentioned that in grammar school, kids are being, they're hitting, say, the fourth grade, fifth grade, and still don't have basic reading skills, but yet they've been passed on. And this goes on for 12 years. These kids come out of high school. I can remember some years back in California, they were estimating that the rate of functional illiterates graduating high school was around 40%, which is staggering. And it seems to me that we're not doing kids any favors by continuing to pass them on when they have, you know, when they simply, for whatever reason, haven't grasped basic reading skills. And to pass them on certainly doesn't do them any favors, and neither for the class that they're being passed into, where they can't help but be an impediment both to the teacher and the other students.
All right, Phil, thank you for that. Appreciate that question and that comment. Deborah Valdez, Executive Director of San Antonio Youth Literacy. You have volunteers that are working with teachers, are reading buddies, you're in the classrooms. What do you see?
Well, that's an age-old issue in education. I'm a 30-year-plus retired educator, and you know, what do you do with students? The state has tried to address it through their assessment program in that, in third grade, if you weren't reading or testing on grade level, you were held back. You had to retake the test and see if you could go forward. And there were benchmark grade levels for each. Now, I've been away from that for a while, so I don't know what the status of those requirements are anymore.
We have all these STAR tests. And,
right.
But social promotion.
It's a STAR test. Yes.
Social promotion is still a thing, though.
Right. And one of the issues of that is, let's try to meet the student where they're at, you know. So we need to, you know, what do you do with students that are mature, you know, a 10-year-old in the third grade? So it's a very complex question. And I think the school districts they do pour lots of resources into trying to get these students to go forward and stay on grade level. But it is an issue, and there's just not a simple answer to it.
Let's go to another caller, Alonzo. Alonzo, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for taking my call. The STAR test was just mentioned a few seconds ago. My question is the STAR test an accurate measure of literacy skills, or is it just simply a criterion reference test? If it is a good measure of literacy skills, what can we do to strengthen that connection? And if it's not an accurate measure, what do we do? Do we take less of the STAR reading test or what? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
All right, Alonzo, thank you for that. Jack Mitz, program coordinator for SA Reads, the STAR test, and what should we make of that?
Any kind of standardized testing is a very complex issue. The state uses that data, and every school district uses that data to assess where their students are and if they think that they're proficient to move on to the next grade. Students can fail to meet grade level on the STAR test, and you know it'll indicate that their reading is not at grade level. Yet they'll still be promoted for a number of reasons, maybe because they've taken the test again or again or again and finally passed it, or for social reasons, or because there may be issues holding a student back or retaining them in that grade. Any kind of standardized testing is not going to give a perfect picture of every individual student. But we use those tests because they are effective at assessing where our students are to some degree. So I guess that's as best as I can speak to STAR testing.
All right, and Deborah?
Well, in addition, I know that the three school districts that we service, Northeast, Northside, and SAISD, you also use the another reading assessment, the Fontes and Pinnell, which they give at the beginning of the year, the middle of the year, and at the end of the year to kind of assess, well, not to kind of assess, to assess where their students, it's a reading assessment, and where their students are at any given point in that three-time course. So that's another assessment. But as Jack said, you know, these are all one shot of a much larger picture as far as what's involved with the student and their learning. You know, nothing can ever replace the classroom teacher and what they do on a daily basis with those students. And they are ultimately the best judge of where those kids are and what they're doing and how they're achieving. And in doing so, then they can make adjustments, individual adjustments for every child. And that's where San Antonio Youth Literacy comes in. We have trained volunteers that are there not to supplant that, but to support those issues and those needs for the classroom teacher.
Candy Mendoza over at the San Antonio Public Library, do you think that reading as a skill is just getting more important as society moves along? It's like maybe years ago, generations ago, might have been able to slip through without reading so much, but now with the way things are?
I mean, I definitely feel like it's an important skill set to have. I mean, whether you're looking at a job and you're trying to read through an application to see if it's something that you can apply for. I mean, technology, even if you're trying to learn how to use your new smartphone or your computer, I mean, there's definitely ways to learn how to do things without being literate.
Not being able to be a good reader, reading at a lower level, robs you of so many of our richness, pleasures, mm-hmm. luxuries of life.
Correct. I mean, I think there's definitely things that you would be exposed to if you were a better reader than if you have trouble struggling getting through different things. But I mean, we definitely see people that just in their digital literacy skills, where literacy impacts their ability to use computers, technology, spreadsheets, Microsoft Word, as we continue to move and migrate to having technology be more and more of a resource that we lean on, the literacy component of that is super important. And we're seeing it. Our use of Wi-Fi and public computers continues to increase every single year as a resource for the community that they can come in. I mean, even just to connect with their family, it's all about Facebook. It's all about Snapchat. It's all about FaceTime.
So even our appliances now, you know, it used to be you buy a crock pot, yeah, you plug it in, it was ready to go. But now you got to read the manual to figure out how to run this thing. It's crazy. And so you have to have that. But Candy, do people probably think, well, I'm just not good at this. I just don't have the right brain. It's just not going to help for me. It doesn't click for me. Can people like that, those folks, do they need to realize that they can achieve a higher skill level?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like Deborah mentioned, we see ourselves, the library sees ourselves as a support system for all the organizations that are doing education and learning and literacy throughout the city of San Antonio. You can come to us if you just got a smartphone and you don't know how to use it. We will help you to get there. You can come to us if it is that you need tutoring, that you just want to improve your skills little by little. We can help you get there. If it is that you're trying to learn a second language, you can come to us and we'll find you the resources and help you get there. I think it all is about a support system and having a strong community to lean on. And I know it sounds a little cliche, but I really do feel like it really does take a village to raise a child. They need to be getting it from all angles. There needs to be a support system in different ways, neighbors, schools, teachers, public libraries, and of course, partnering organizations. It's not a duplication. It's just to ensure that that message is getting across from different angles.
And Deborah Valdez, volunteers are the backbone of your organization as you go forward to meet kids where they are?
Yes, that's what we do, trained volunteers. We always want to preface it with the word trained volunteers because we do take them through a training that helps them understand decoding and comprehension and vocabulary building, as Jack was talking about. And our volunteers, last year we had close to 1,200 volunteers. 700 volunteers for 1,500 students in three school districts at 68 campuses. And this equated to close to $200,000 worth of monies, in-kind volunteer hours.
So a volunteer would partner with a child,
right,
and maybe when they have some free time during the school day or maybe before
no.
or after? Or
actually, we're more structured than that. Yeah. We actually do have the schools. We have the second grade. We pride ourselves on being very non-intrusive to the classroom teacher or to the school. We don't want to come in and say, we're here to help you, and then ask them to do everything for us. So the only thing they create for us from this Fontes and Pinnell assessment is a priority list that we target kids in a certain target area on this test. And then we actually match these children with a volunteer that they stay with the entire year and meet with for 30 minutes every week the entire year.
Okay.
So it's not only a reading program, it's a mentoring program. It's inserting another caring adult into that child's life.
We're going to continue our conversation about improving literacy in San Antonio when we come back from the break. The number to call in if you've got a question or comment about your experiences with literacy, illiteracy in the town, 210-614-8980, 614-8980. Source continues after this. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Being able to read, something that many of us take for granted, but there are lots of folks out there that reading is a challenge. Maybe they have a reading disability, or maybe they had a rough start, but they can catch up. There's lots of resources in San Antonio to help the young and the not so young, the young at heart, who want to read at a higher level and achieve much more in life. It's all there waiting for them. Give us a call. Got a question or a comment, 210-614-8980. And Marianne is on the line. And Marianne, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the time. I would just like to make a statement. When I was the executive director at San Antonio League Literacy, one of the most frustrating things for me was similar to when I worked on the Senate Criminal Justice Committee, and that is if you don't put the money at the front end, you're going to end up spending it at the back end. And SAIL relied on private donors for a very minimal budget to try to attack this huge problem. One very simple way of stating this so that people can understand is that if you have a child who cannot read at the third grade level, then they cannot solve the math problem. They cannot solve the science problems that come further down the road for them. And so it puts them forever, ever behind on their trajectory in life. And until the city and state elected officials in Texas decide that literacy is vital for the future economic prosperity of Texas, this is going to continue to be a cycle of decline for these children in our economy. We went and talked to Pedro Martinez at San Antonio Independent School District before I left SAIL, requesting some kind of funding, whether it be from their discretionary funds or wherever it was going to come from, to just fund a tiny portion of what it costs for SAIL to provide these services to children. SAIL has the perfect business model to do this throughout the community of San Antonio, and it will change not only the future for these kids, but the future for the city of San Antonio. Thank you very much for your time, and I'll listen to comments off air.
All right. Well, thank you very much. So Deborah Valdez, San Antonio Youth Literacy, you're now the executive director, and what do you think?
Well, there wasn't anything I would take exception to with that. Yes, we do need money. We, as I said, we are in 67 campuses across three school districts. These are Title I schools, which are identified as low socioeconomic populations, because there is a direct correlation between poverty and the ability to exceed in school. And we pride ourselves in offering our services at no cost, but again, it would be nice to have that sustained funding flow from year to year.
If there's more money, you can do more.
Yes. We could be in all of the Title I schools in SAISD. We could be in all. We are in all of the schools in Northeast. But we could certainly increase our footprint, and that's what we would love to do, you know. By having the volunteer force, we're accomplishing more than just one goal of keeping the cost down. We're accomplishing the enlightenment of the population. You know, people want to be part of the solution. And by having a volunteer force, that really does help. But we also need our program coordinators, who this year we're going to have two individuals split between 68 campuses all across the San Antonio geographic area. So we need to have that in order to increase our footprint. We have to have a support staff, and that requires money.
Some people wonder if, San Antonio is a large population, that English is not their preferred language. We have Spanish speaking, and some people wonder if that is, this was brought up through an email question, is that a root of some of our problems with us, with our literacy? And Candy Mendoza, any ideas?
I mean, I definitely feel in the parts that we've been involved with, English as a second language programs can always be a resource. And I think in general in academics, we've always encouraged parents to read to their child in the language that they feel most comfortable with, because it's trying to relay to them vocabulary and just a sense of comfort. And again, back to that enjoyment and pleasure of reading, if the parent doesn't feel comfortable or is having trouble doing it in another language, then we prefer for them to do it in Spanish. And we do have books for all levels in Spanish as well. So we do encourage parents to, if that's what they feel more comfortable with, check out a book in Spanish and read that instead.
Jack Mitz, any ideas about biliteracy? Bilingual literacy?
Well, I mean, as you were saying, like more language exposure is more language exposure, which is better. So when these parents have a deeper vocabulary in their native language, which might not be English, we always encourage them to use that native language, whether it's Spanish or some other language, with their children to read to them in that language, just to speak with them in that language, because there's a severe language gap, especially based on socioeconomic lines.
So use of Spanish is not like a problem, you know. Actually, it's an asset, because I mean, people should not be shunned for teaching their children to read and write in Spanish. And
well, it requires the same skills, you know, the same spatial relation skills, left to right, top to bottom, and it's been proven over and over that if a child learns to read in their native language first, then they can be transitioned into English much quicker. Because they're proficient, they have the skills that are required to read in any language, with the exception of Asian languages that perhaps you read a different way spatially.
Okay. Make another caller on, Stephanie. And hi, Stephanie. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment and bring something up that had been talked about a little earlier in the program. I teach high school English in a small community just south of San Antonio, and I've had 10th grade students who don't know how to read. And I wanted to tell you about one young boy who had been passed along for whatever reason, but had fallen through the cracks. And he would sit in my English class, checked out, arms crossed, and not even try to participate. And I worked with him one-on-one for a few minutes every class period, on looking up just one word in the dictionary, and I'd tell him just one word. And I tried everything, and the day that he read that one word and I told him that I was proud of him, his smile was something that I will never forget. And it just seems to me that the problem was that on the six or seven times I called home to talk to a parent or a grandparent about him, it was clear his mother was defensive and angry and made excuses when she wasn't a little bit incoherent or slurring her speech. And so I just want to bring up, this is the same as neglect. Failing to participate in education is the same as failing to provide food and shelter. And it just seems to me that these parents need to be accountable, and schools need to improve outreach. And if outreach doesn't work, there need to be some consequences that relate it back to this idea of neglect.
Okay, Stephanie, thank you for that call. People are working at their highest capacity pretty much at all times. And so maybe not everyone is perfect and meets everyone's expectations, but I don't know What kind of sanctions could you put on someone who is dealing with those circumstances? So, Candy Mendoza, any ideas?
I mean, I think it's hard to kind of put a generalization on parents and their participation in their students' educational life. I think some parents live on a daily basis just trying to put food on the table, pay their bills. Maybe they have two or three jobs, so their engagement in their child's education might not be the strongest, but I don't think it's out of lack of not wanting to. I think it is about engaging them and showing them maybe some easy ways that they could be engaged with their child to ensure that there's improvement in their lives.
But we know we have cycles of poverty, and what a better way to try to break cycles of poverty than really trying to engage children in learning to read, helping to empower them to be able to take control of their future and letting them know that they can do these things and they're not locked into the lives of their parents. They can do more. And so when you deal with children, Deborah Valdez over at San Antonio Youth Literacy, you probably see kids that wonder, you know, what is their future?
This is the beautiful part about this program. You know, when I took the position there a little over a year ago. I was told by our passionate program people that I would be taking on reading buddies. And I thought, oh my goodness, I've taught for 30 years, you know. I teach at A&M here in San Antonio. But I took on 4 reading buddies. And I want to tell you, it was such a different experience for me. Meeting them for the first time, walking up to the door and the apprehension, but then as the year progressed, watching them as they saw you approach, they knew you were going to be there that day at that time, and them running to you to want to be with you, another caring adult in their lives, building their self-confidence, building their self-awareness is something that, you know, you just can't pay for, but it's just so vitally important. For these children. You know, as Candy said, their parents, most of their parents are hardworking people that they turn their children over to the school, to the professionals. They trust you with their most beloved, valuable thing in life, and they want you to teach them. But having another caring adult in that situation is just something that can help them as well. You know, having other kids say, can I have a reading buddy? You know, even if they're not in our target group. So that means more probably than maybe all of the reading that we do with the kids, maybe, you know.
All right. Deborah Valdez, Executive Director of San Antonio Youth Literacy. Jack Mitz is with us. He's Program Coordinator for San Antonio Reads Literacy San Antonio. Candy Mendoza is the Library Services Administrator for the San Antonio Public Library. And earlier we heard from Connie Tobe with the Each One, Teach One. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thank you so much for tuning us in.